If you're looking to add some variety to your baking, try using some farro flour or einkorn berries or another heritage grain. Our next guest works with a variety of grains, growing them, milling, and cooking with them. She says using different grains can add great flavor and texture, give options for people with special dietary needs, including gluten-free options, and they can help the environment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you gone against the grain with your cooking, using stuff apart from the typical all-purpose white and wheat flours? Do you use barley, farro, oats, durum, you name it? Have you found heritage grains accessible maybe in your local stores or markets? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Emma Zimmerman is the author of the cookbook, The Miller's Daughter, Unusual Flours and Heritage Grains. She's officially been experimenting with milling grains since 2011 with her dad. Emma, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about these grains.
What got you and your dad into this wide variety of grains and flours and growing them and milling them in the first place?
Yeah, so we're in Phoenix, Phoenix, Arizona, and there is a heritage grain that's been in this region for a while called White Sonora Wheat, and that was kind of our first foray into this whole world of heritage grains, and we started growing it. We grew 10 acres with a local farmer, loved it, got some excitement from chefs and local bakers, and that just kind of led to like discovering this whole world of grains that had been forgotten. And we're kind of, you know, just sitting in seed banks, not getting eaten or enjoyed.
So it sounds like fun growing it and milling it and all. But for maybe that home cook who's listening right now, if they asked, what's in it for me? What would you tell them about opening up their eyes to some of this variety?
Well, I could, you know, go on about like health benefits of whole grains and all that stuff. I love like getting people excited about the flavors and kind of like I always compare it to maybe coloring with the 64 pack of crayons. Like you just have a lot more options and a lot more that you can do with your creativity in the kitchen, having flour that's not just sort of like a white inert substance that doesn't quite offer anything. You know, it becomes more of a central player in your kitchen, which is really fun. The book, The Miller's Daughter, has 10 different grains and legumes, and there's just so many different ways that you can prepare these grains as well. So it's even beyond baking. If people aren't considering themselves bakers, there's something for everyone.
Well, let's check out one of the grains now. And I've used this. I don't actually know what it is. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Farro, F-A-R-R-O. Farro or farro?
Yeah.
Farro.
Yes.
Okay,
you
great.
Can say either way, actually.
Excellent. Good. And then, like I said, I've cooked with it. I've eaten it. I don't actually know what it is. What is farro?
So farro is a very old grain. We call it an ancient grain because it's thousands of years old. It's sort of a precursor to what we know as modern wheat. Some people call it farro because it is the Pharaoh's wheat. It's a very old variety that probably ancient Egyptians were eating. And it's a really nutty, deeply flavorful grain. Yeah, you can cook it whole like rice. So there's a bunch of salads in the book. It makes such a great salad. And you can mill it and turn it into flour. There's a farro banana bread that has some chocolate in it as well. And those are some of my favorite recipes. Farro is pretty accessible as well right now. I think most people listening could probably find it either just in their local supermarket or at a local mill near them, but it's pretty well established here. It's really popular in Italian cooking as well.
Now we've got that recipe. You shared it with us. It's up at WPR.org/Food Friday, the chocolate flecked farro banana bread. So what is having farro? Now this is like, it's not the whole farro, as you said, it's like a farro milled flour. What does that do? How does it make the banana bread different?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad that you have that recipe up. That's kind of my go-to when people ask like, where do we start, you know, with this book? Because everyone, you know, banana bread, like, pretty accessible. Everyone can make banana bread, I hope.
It's not too hard. Even so, I can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not not too hard. And I mean, I always have overripe bananas on hand. It always seems I'm like a little too ambitious buying bananas every week. But farro flour is a great swap for that white flour. And it's a great way to kind of taste the difference in adding a stone milled ancient grain flour into your baking. People always love that recipe. It's so fun to serve it to friends and family because it tastes familiar, but it just has that extra layer of something else. So it always kind of starts a conversation about these grains.
Talking to Emma Zimmerman, author of the cookbook, The Miller's Daughter, Unusual Flours and Heritage Grains, Stories and Recipes from Hayden Flour Mills. You can join the Food Friday conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you like to cook or bake with different kinds of grains and flours? What are your favorites? What have you experimented with? Do you have a question for a guest? Maybe you tried it and it didn't come out so good. Maybe Emma could help you out. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Emma, a lot of times we're going to buy flour already milled. What are options for getting something that's in, you know, a harder, chunkier form if we want to get something and grind it up at home? Are there some we can do that with?
Yes, there. You could get into home milling. It's not something that I've personally explored, seeing as I own a flour mill. I can just go get my flour
very
there.
Fair.
But yeah, there you can home mill anywhere, you know, from like a blender attachment to something like a little more substantial as a countertop mill or a hand mill. But that's really the ultimate. And that's how we got started, honestly, is my dad was baking bread and then he started milling his own flour to kind of, you know, enhance the fresh taste of his flour. And one thing led to the next, and all of a sudden the home countertop mill, you know, got a little bit bigger and bigger and bigger until now we have a whole milling operation.
Mission creep for sure. Yeah. Let's check out some other grains. Now, barley, I just think of, you know, barley is barley, and you go and buy a package with the word barley on it. There's different kinds of barley, and you've got, I think, purple barley, for example. Can you tell us about some of the variety in the barley world?
Yeah. So there is bronze barleys. We grow a variety of Tibetan purple barley. It's just really fun. It is purple in the field. Like, so if you were, you know, flying overhead with a drone, you could actually see this lavender colored field. And then the seeds are very deep, rich purple. So just from, you know, from that, like, it's so fun to cook with. There's a recipe in the book that's a barley lemonade. And really pretty, like, violet purple color. And Ooh. It's very delicious and a refreshing. And that's always really fun to surprise people with. But yeah, barley, I think, has kind of that, like, pearly stew reputation. And I tried to steer away from that and make barley a little more exciting. There's a lot of cuisines throughout the world that use barley as well. So a lot of inspiration there. But yeah, purple barley is the one that we grow and really love at the mill, even though there's a lot of different varieties. I mean, if your food can be more colorful, why not?
Well, here's the one that got me, because I grew up with my Polish grandma's pierogies. And you've got a purple potato pierogi using ideally this purple barley. Tell us about this one.
Yes. So I hope someone will make this recipe. But
I might.
It's a purple barley, dumpling and, you know, wrapper. And then the purple potato inside. So it's like purple on purple. I love cooking with color in mind. So anytime I can play with color and also make it delicious, I just can't resist. So that one was really fun to do. And yeah, like if you make bread with purple barley flour, that bread will have a lavender color. Like, it's just really fun.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Emma Zimmerman, author of the cookbook, The Miller's Daughter, Unusual Flours and Heritage Grains. She's talking with us about how we can experiment in the kitchen with more than just that all-purpose, say, white flour by using a lot of different heritage grains, other kinds of flours. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you ever tried milling your own flour from, say, wheat berries or whatever before, how did it go? Do you use different kinds of flours in your cooking or baking, different kinds of grains? if you are gluten-free for one reason or another. What kind of grains have you had success with, where stuff comes out with great flavors and textures? Or do you have questions for our guest about what to do with all this stuff? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Remember, we got that banana bread made with Faro recipe. There's some chocolate in there too. Find it at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk with Emma Zimmerman, author of the cookbook The Miller's Daughter, Unusual Flours and Heritage Grains. After experimenting with growing and milling grains for more than a decade with her dad, Emma's with us to talk about using a lot of different types of grains and flours in our own cooking and baking. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences using different grains, maybe growing or milling them yourself, or your questions, 800-642-1234. Linda joins us in Milwaukee. Hi, Linda.
Hello.
What'd you want to tell us about?
Well, I happen to be Jewish, and, you know, we Jews have the holiday of Passover, and that lasts 8 days, and you were not allowed to eat any leavened products. Nothing with yeast, no leavening. And the reason for that is because when we had to leave Egypt, we had no time to let the bread rise. And so we have to be very ingenious, you know, because matzah is just flour and water. So I make something that's Persian. It's called a spinach mina. And what it is you wet matzah and you put it in an oiled or buttered or greased, whatever, 8-inch pan. I use glass. And then you layer in meat, cooked chopped meat. You can put almonds in it if you want to. And then I make about a 3-inch layer of that. And then you put another piece of wet matzah on top, and you pour a beaten egg over the whole thing and bake it.
Wow.
And it's absolutely delicious.
That sounds fantastic, Linda. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Emma, do you have favorite flours or grains that work well as a bread-like product that is unleavened, that's no yeast in the picture?
Yeah. Oh, that recipe sounded so
totally
good. Yes, there's a few cracker recipes in the book. That's with a type of wheat called Durum. It's a pasta wheat. We grow a heritage variety called Bluebeard Durum that has these blue awns on it, kind of creating this blue beard effect in the field. But that's a really delicious pasta wheat, and it also makes really great crackers because it gives that same kind of like firm crunch to it. But yeah, a lot of the recipes in the book, I don't do a lot of bread kind of baking. There's a few things, but not a lot of yeast. So it's not, you know, when people hear about ancient and heritage grains, they think of those sourdough kind of European style loaves. But in this case, I really wanted to showcase all the other ways that you could use these grains. Maybe if sourdough is a little bit intimidating, or using yeast can be a little bit intimidating, but quick breads, crackers, whole grain salads, you know, waffles, pancakes, there's so many things that you can do with these grains. And in fact, it's almost better to keep things really simple. That way you can taste the actual flavor of the grain as you're baking.
Thanks a lot for that call, Linda, at 800-642-1234. Sharon joins us next in Appleton. Sharon, hi.
Hi, well, I'm gluten sensitive, not celiac, and I've used gluten-free grains for years. And I never buy gluten-free flours pre-mixed because they're just filled with potato starch and corn starch and no whole grains. So I keep about a dozen different gluten-free flours in my refrigerator almost any time. And I'll just take any recipe. I don't do yeasted things because that's too hard. But quick bread, cookies, pancakes, waffles, etc. If it says a cup of flour, I'll just grab maybe three different kinds of gluten-free flours, a third a cup of each, unless I'm using coconut. And then I use a little less because coconut soaks up the moisture just a lot. And then just start to play with how the different textures you get from the different flours.
Sharon, what are a couple of your rock star flours that you go to?
Sorghum. So sorghum and coconut if you want something really moist.
Excellent.
And then if you want something a little bit lighter, and I will go with rice or millet. You know, I sometimes I put in, well, like for pancakes, I'll love buckwheat, a little buckwheat, but not
okay.
straight.
Sharon, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for sharing all that with us. Emma, one thing that popped to my mind is you've got a whole chapter on chickpea flour in the book.
Yes. Yeah. So chickpea is also one of the gluten-free flours. There's a whole world. I mean, I cover 10 types of flours and grains, but there's, as Sharon mentioned, sorghum and buckwheat and so many other things you wouldn't typically think that you can turn into flour. Chickpeas are great because they're naturally gluten-free. They grow really well as a cover crop for wheat, so they're great to rotate in. And yeah, you can make such amazing things from chickpea flour. There's a chickpea flour pound cake in the book that I really love with this tahini glaze and a baharat spice. You can make chickpea fries. Those always go really fast. But yeah, it's a really fun flour to kind of play with and a great option if you're trying to stay away from gluten. I will say that a lot of our customers who come to us because they are gluten sensitive and they find that they can eat these older varieties, these heritage grains, these ancient grains with no reaction. So that's really hopeful too. Another reason that we think these grains are worth growing.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Emma Zimmerman is with us on this week's edition of Food Friday. Her new cookbook is called The Miller's Daughter, Unusual Flours and Heritage Grains, Stories and Recipes from Hayden Flour Mills. Emma, let's talk about the grain that you mentioned earlier, started it all, that white Sonora flour. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, white Sonora wheat is the first wheat that came to North America. The legend is that it was brought over by Jesuit German missionaries, you know, bringing the foods from home. Also needed wheat flour to, you know, make the Eucharist. So it's been here in the Southwest for 400 years. So it became acclimated, what we call became a land race. One of the reasons we love it is because of that story and because it takes less water to grow, which is a huge thing for us here in Arizona. We need to take a lot of care with our water. So having a crop that's arid adapted is really great. And, you know, so probably something we need to do more of in the future. It tastes great. It's so beautiful. I actually got married 10 years ago, and that was my wedding bouquet because I thought it was just so beautiful. So
awesome. Now, you mentioned some of the environmental benefits there. Can you talk? That's something you talk about a little bit in the book, and we've been focusing on, you know, cooking with the stuff. But what are some more of the environmental benefits of checking out these wider varieties of ancient grains?
Yeah, they are really great, especially in conjunction with regenerative agriculture practices. They're really great for the soil. They demand less inputs, so they can be, you know, a lower cost to a farmer and, yeah, lower water. So, yeah, that's all part of the story, you know, beyond just the flavor and kind of the excitement and the creativity that comes from using these grains. We also think they're kind of part of our future, and we need to go back and recover a lot of that biodiversity that we've lost in the industrial food system. And the best way to, you know, promote biodiversity in our food system is to eat these grains and, of course, to have really good recipes that inspire people to use them.
There's been some chatter among Central Time producers about what your farm and operation looks like. Can you kind of paint us a picture of what we would see if we were taking a tour?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, so Hayden Flour Mills is actually a historic mill that started in Tempe, Arizona. But our mill is not located there anymore. We restarted the mill. It had been out of business for a while. So in 2011, my dad and I restarted it. And we actually are now located on the farm, kind of on the outskirts of Phoenix, where we grow a lot of our wheat. So it's very cool that we're kind of this vertically integrated mill. We have the farmer growing the fields, you know, just out the door. And then this the seed cleaning operation right there next door to us. the mill. We have this beautiful Italian stone mill. It's still very artisanal. It's not a giant grain elevator that you might have, you know, seen in most states have these big mills. It's much, much smaller. And then it goes out the door right there. So it gets turned into pancake mixes, all these different kinds of flour, flour for chefs and restaurants and bakeries, as well as flour for, you know, grocery stores. And then, of course, our online store, people, home bakers can just order directly from us. So, yeah, it's a really fun place to work. It's a fun place to be. We used to offer tours. We don't do that anymore since COVID. But we loved showing people like where their flour came from and connecting them directly with the source of their grains and flour.
Emma, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Emma Zimmerman, author of the cookbook, The Miller's Daughter, Unusual Flours and Heritage Grains. She joined us today to talk about why she enjoys using unique flours and grains in her recipes. You can find one of those recipes at wpr.org/foodfriday. It is a chocolate-flecked farro or farro banana bread. Again, find that at wpr.org/foodfriday. Maybe make some over the weekend and you can drop it off at the studio for me on Monday. That would work out really well, actually. That would work for me. Also, if you have experiences cooking, baking, whatever, with a lot of the different grains we've been talking about or others off the beaten path, you can tell us all about it. Let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or send us an email, ideas@wpr.org. Maybe you've got a recipe of your own you'd like to share.